Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Pro Stock Motorcycle, coming at you, Karen Stouffer. Been a long time since she won a race, but she got the job done. Excellent reaction times, all race long. Jerry Savoie came up a little bit short, first round, bike let him down, some sort of malfunction. Had a great light. But Karen goes on to victory. Congratulations to Karen. We'll hear from Karen moments from now, but first I got to tell you about TotalSeal.com. Total Seal Piston Rings. They build rings for anything. And if you got a high-performance engine, you're a high-performance engine builder, and you're wondering what kind of rings you need, Total Seal. Whether it be road car, race car, IndyCar, NASCAR, stock car, drag car, pro modified, stock eliminator, bracket car, whatever it is, Total Seal Piston Rings. They will build the rings to fit your pistons. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA. Magic Dry, 560% of its weight, number one. Number two, any viscosity. Number three, it's made of coconut, which means it's all natural, but also lighter in weight. Check them out, MagicDryUS.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, 2020 schedule, starting off so far in Gainesville. Courses start at $399, but you're going through this great experience, 130 miles per hour in the quarter mile, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, maybe even side-by-side drag racing if you set it up, like you and your team go out there and race against each other. Gainesville, March 27th, June 5th, Baytown. April 5th, Tucson. April 17th, Auto Club Dragway. July 16th, Summit Motorsports Park. We're talking 2020 here, folks. But they're already planning out their schedule, and they're going to be adding dates all the time. This makes a great holiday gift. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School at frankhawley.com. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. Rodax, coffeeandgrills.com. Marvin Rodak, hot sauces and spice rubs and barbecues and grilling and all kinds of elite stuff. Started off in an auto repair shop. Decided needed good coffee to get through the day. The rest is history. Give Marvin a call, 817-924-6821. Special blends, drag racing themed, bang the blower, funny car chaos. Check him out, rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com. Total Seal, Magic Dry, Frank Hawley, Rodax, Samtech, all on board with WFO, plus Drag Racing Edge Magazine, EV3 Drag Racing. They are the ones that make it possible. And hey, get a WFO t-shirt. They're cool, man. Everybody's loving them. The WFO t-shirts, available in the Nitro Fish trailer or at nitrofishracing.com. All right. Joining us now, she was the Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, picked up the win over Andrew Hines in the final round, left first, outran him. Karen Stouffer joins us now. Karen, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. So that was a pretty big race weekend for you guys. It had been some time since that last win, but this one you did it with authority.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it has been quite some time. 2015, I think, Norwalk, so in the middle of the summer. So, yeah, it's been a very long time, and it was definitely sweet. I'm not so sure about the authority, but I tell you what, Tim had that war bike really humming, and we were gelling together as far as the bike and me, so it worked out really, really well. I don't know if it's authority or not, but it certainly was fun.
All right, well, we'll let the audience decide based on the stats and information. We shall see. And by the way, you haven't raced consistently since 2015 off and on, so it's you've been on lately, but I don't know, I think that that time it isn't necessarily reflective of your performance, let's put it that way. Round one against Flying Ryan, 691-1. You had an 0.68 reaction time. That was your worst light of the day, but it was enough to get through the first round as the number nine qualifier.
Yeah, I certainly didn't plan on that light being that way. Of course, I really don't plan on my lights. I kind of give that up to Timmy. I do the same thing every time and let him work on the bike. But on that one, I was a little cautious. I know that in that pass, if people didn't watch it, Ryan had some issues he was dealing with in the burnout box. He started, then I started. I did my progress with my burnout and then went up to the starting line. And he was still back in the burnout box, and he had some issues. So I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but Gary was holding me in the starting line, just telling me to hang on, just wait for him and see what's going on. So kind of had a lot of things going on. I wasn't quite sure if he was going to make the pass or not, so it wasn't a traditional light for me. But it was still Tim had given me the bike to actually win the race and win that one. So that was good. That was where he saved me a little bit there.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, yeah, I think Ryan had something in the air box. They were digging into the air scoops on the car, if I recall correctly, on the bike, rather. Regardless, 691, 1195 got you to the second round, which is setting up a date with Matt Smith, so to speak. He goes red, 002 red, went 90 with a 7. So if he had turned it green, he might have beaten you. You were 69.16, but a 005 light, Karen. Like, that's what I'm talking about with authority. 005 against Matt Smith. He would have needed something, and he knew it, and that's why he was close and went red.
Yeah, who knows really why he went red again? You know, those things happen on Sunday, but definitely we didn't leave a lot of room there with 005. But he would have had a really good pass. He would have had to have a really, really good pass to get inside that. But either way, I was happy when I looked down at the ticket. I saw it was a 005 and I saw our ET, and I was really happy about that. Matt looked up and he goes, man, he was -2 when the finish line. And he looked over and I said, yeah, I said, but 005, I said, it would have been interesting. That would have been hard to get inside of. But all in all, it was good. Again, that was kind of where Timmy and I worked a little bit together. I had a fairly good light and gave me a pretty good bike.
Exactly. Semifinals. Now we're going up against the Harley Davidsons. Here we go. So you've taken out the reigning champion. And now the previous year's reigning champion, Eddie Krawick, is rolling up. And you go 692-1 with a 008 reaction time. So back-to-back 00 lights and a 692-1 to punch your ticket to the final round. So that is pretty authoritative.
Oh, well, again, you can put any kind of descriptive word in front of that you want. But really, that's just racing. You know, for all the years that we've been... You know, we've been on a Suzuki, and Suzukis have really kind of not been overly, don't have the extra horsepower or a ton of horsepower in ratio and perspective to the other brands. So we've had to, you notice a lot of Suzuki riders have to be good on the tree and react and be consistent so they can tune the bike. So I'm fortunate in the fact that I cut another nice 00 light. And again, Tim gave us the bike, and at the top end, Eddie was, you know, hey, what was my light? And I said, oh, 53. And he goes, yep, okay. But, you know, I mean, that's just a lot of it comes from the fact that, you know, that's how the Suzukis have had to win over the years is, you know, you got to be darn good on the tree and you got to get that 60 foot because those V engines, they motor you on the back half. And if you can't squirt out on front of them in the beginning, then you don't have much of a shot at the top end. So, you know, I guess I'd have to say last week's performance had a lot to do with all the year's previous performance and what we've had to deal with. I've had to race Eddie a lot, and he won. If you look at the stats, he's probably won a heck of a lot more than I beat him, but Sunday was the day that I got to beat him.
There you go, and it sets up a run in the final round against Andrew Hines, and this is a good one to talk about. As you were talking about, you know, 60-foot and reaction time, I just got to thinking, like, what does it feel like? Are you, you know, how far ahead? You said squirt out ahead. Is it like a half a bike? Is it a bike? Is it a bike? You know, it's been a while since I have been able to watch a pro stock motorcycle race from 60 feet out up in the stands. So what does it feel like when you're going up against Andrew Hines, say, and you're 22 and he's 24, so nearly identical, but you got a 2,000 advantage, and you're passing 60 foot. Like, where is he in relation to you?
Well, hopefully he's behind me, because if he wasn't behind me, he was definitely going to beat me on that race. So I'm not exactly sure what the numbers showed, but I think we had a 105 60 foot, maybe a 106 60 foot. So, you know, that's the first thing. That's the first inclination you have if you've got a shot at the race. If you can get past the tree and it stays green, and then you can get past the 60 foot and you don't have that boat, that you don't see any color on your left hand or right hand side, you don't see any of that other bike's color on your peripherals, then you got a shot at it. So you just stay tucked. You keep hitting your shift lights. And I heard him the whole time. He was right there. I think we were probably once we got past the 60 foot, I think we were probably glued together the whole way down. I did notice on the replay, though, that he was coming up on me close to the finish line, so he might have made up some. Again, that's that top-end speed. You got to get out way in front of him, and then you may have a shot at getting through, but they got that big top end, so he was definitely reeling me in. If that racetrack had been any longer, we might have had a different outcome, but fortunately, it's not, so we got the win light.
There it is. 686.9 means What is that, 3 wins in a row for White Alligator Racing. Jerry, unfortunately, for the team, lost first round, had a 17 reaction time, just something not right on the bike, slowed down a little bit, and got taken out by Hector Jr. But you were able to carry it for the team, and you've referenced Tim's name several times. Your husband, Gary, great guy, been doing this a long time. And so it must be interesting and different and unique to work with this other, crew chief-style person that probably is very different or maybe not. Like, that's what I would love to hear you talk about, Tim Kalungian. He's referred to as a genius. He gets a lot of different, superlatives thrown his way. Give me your opinion. What's he like?
He's awesome. I think we can connect really well because he's what I call a data monkey. I mean, he looks at data 24/7, and we can talk the same language. People don't know that necessarily about me, but I'm also one of those data monkey people. So, we get along really well. And quite honestly, it was kind of interesting on Sunday. Jerry did have an unfortunate issue happen to his bike. He drilled him on the tree, had a nice 17 light, and then the bike kind of had some issues, a couple of little electrical issues that they had to address. But, after that round, Jerry stepped into another role and became kind of like the mentor, kind of coach, half crew chief kind of guy, although he would never admit it. But we sat in the trailer, and it was Gary and Tim and Jerry, and we were all talking about what was going to happen and what was going on. And so he kind of stepped into that role and said, okay, we got to do damage control here, Karen. So we got to do what it takes to get you to keep going rounds. And so it's a collaborative environment. Timmy, you asked me about Timmy in the beginning, and he runs it like a good business. He's a leader, and he's very much into the data. And it's been very interesting because I'm a totally different rider. So he's had to not only be the crew chief, but he's had to kind of be on the learning mode too, because my style is different. Jerry and Ellie both rammed and lunged as they left. I leave already tucked. Jerry and Ellie leave with their feet on the pegs, and I leave with my feet flat on the ground. My bike is X number of pounds. I don't know how much weight he put on extra, but probably up to 30-ish pounds, if not more, and it makes the bike react inverse. So Tim's been kind of an even more of a data mode, if you will. He's really been trying to gather as much information as he can, as quick as he can, because he's in a learning mode. So, and he reaches out to Gary every once in a while and says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm thinking. So it's very collaborative. And so data monkey, if I had to give you 2 words, I would say collaborative and data oriented. That would be what it's like working with him. As a whole team, though, with Rick and Freddie and Corey and Luke, Jerry and the whole gang, it's a lot of fun. It's very much like our team. It's a fun team. It's a professional team. And I'm having a good time.
That is great. Now,
you said, can't tell.
Well, I can tell. I can tell. And we'll talk about the points in a second. I know you're having a good time. But you were not really even going to race this year. Like, that's what's making this kind of sweet and kind of cool, in that you informed us in the media center. You were like, this year was... you had kind of, I don't know, had the word resigned, comes to mind, but you had kind of accepted the fact that this year you weren't going to race, and then the phone rang.
Yeah, we had other, I had made up my mind at the end of last year, actually, that I was not going to be racing my bike. Actually, we were going to get my bike prepared for Gianna, and she was going to take over my bike. And I was going to step off, and I was going to be a full-time mentor. I was going to help her with sponsors, help her with her riding, and just kind of take a step off and not do anything this year. I don't think I announced that to many people. That was just a discussion that Gary and I had. It was nobody knew about. Gary and Greg and I, our immediate team, were the only ones who knew that I wasn't planning on racing this year. And to be honest with you, I never received a phone call. I never talked to Tim or Jerry until the week before testing of Gainesville of this year. So this was all something that was done with Gary and Tim and Jerry. So, but I got a phone call sometime around January from Gary. He was in Indy, and he says, I had just had an interesting conversation. And he says, don't put your leathers away in the closet yet. And that's how it progressed. He said that Tim had given him a call and they had some discussions and dialogue. And I don't even honestly know if Tim ever knew that I wasn't planning on racing this year. But how it came out is Gary and Tim started talking. They both had a need. Tim had a need he had to fill. And Gary said, yeah, sure, Karen will do it. And then he called me up and told me I was going to do it. Kind of how it went. It was kind of surprising, but very, very honored that they would think of me. And right now, sitting in this position, I hope they feel the same way, that they were glad that I was able to help them out of a situation and ride the other bike.
Yes, well, you did. You delivered for the team, damage control, all that. But now when I look at the point standings, I think about bigger picture. Andrew leads. You are second. After all that, you're second. Jerry, tough week, falls from first to fifth, and it just goes to show you how tight it is at the in the top of the points. Jerry is fifth, 66 back. So what I'm thinking about is you've just got your reaction times are always stellar. Tim is figuring out what it needs, obviously, and it takes longer than anyone, you know, would really want it to, but now it's getting to that point. And you're in great position. 34 points out of the lead. So, you know, is this your best chance to win a championship? Yet and still, you got Eddie and Matt and Jerry and Andrew up there, certainly. But you are right in the middle of this with four races remaining. Where's your head at on that?
Yeah, you're right. It certainly would be a Cinderella year if anything plays out with that. But you said it from the very beginning, you know. But the points are so tight up there at the top, or the top five, six spots, that anybody can move. Every race, I believe, we're going to have a dynamic shift depending on how early or late you go out. And it comes down to you can't go out first round, because then you start really losing your shot. You got to be in the late rounds in order to be competitive. So, you know, I think that's what it's coming down to. I'd love it. I never dreamed to be on a bike this year. I never thought I was going to be. I certainly never thought I was going to be in the top 10. I certainly never thought I would be in this position. But, you know, my number one focus is to honor my commitment to Jerry and to make sure that, you know, I perform as best I can. And Timmy's going to do the same thing. He's going to perform the best he can. And honestly, where the cards play out, I hope it's a war team member fighting for that. Fighting for that big one at the end of the year, but however it works out, I'm just hoping that I can put my best foot forward, put on a good performance, show Timmy that I can ride that bike, and he can tune it for me. And I think that's right now. I'm not thinking about points, because to me, it's just way too tight up there that it can shift and change by one round so quickly that I'm just focused on doing my job for them.
Wow, very cool, very cool. Now, you mentioned Gianna Salinas. I've had the opportunity to speak with her, you know, quite a few times, and I'm amazed that, you know, she told me just this week, it's like, why, you know, of all the things, why would you choose the Pro Stock motorcycle? Because it's, like, to me, it's, you know, I don't want to say scary, but it's just, like, super challenging. And she said, that's exactly the reason I wanted to do this, because it's super challenging. And I felt like it was something that if I could conquer this, I could conquer anything. She's obviously had an eventful and tough year, but every race she goes out, she's getting better and better. So what, you know, as someone who is, while you're doing your own thing, I know you're still helping her out. You know, what do you think about the way she's progressed?
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that the riders that they see out there right now have had hundreds and thousands of passes underneath them on a professional bike, as well as many of them had hundreds of thousands of passes on a sportsman or a bracket bike drag racing. Where Gianna came out here, she had zero experience on a bracket race, bike racing or any kind of drag racing motorcycle. She drag raced a junior dragster, but nothing beyond that. And that's a huge, racing a pro stock motorcycle is challenging enough when you have experience on a dragster below you. But if you don't even have that, it's very, very, very tough. And she has made significant strides and huge gains being in that position. Is it like a seasoned person who's been out here for 5-6 years? No, but she is definitely ramping up that mountain very, very quick. And every race, every pass, and then, of course, every race, she goes home with something new that she learned. And she applies, and she is definitely driven, focused. And I think that, and again, just getting some more good passes underneath her and continuing to develop her experience, she's going to be a threat. She's going to climb that mountain, and she's going to take the mountain and put her flag on top and do a good job out there.
That is exciting. It's good. It's good to watch. It's fun to see. And, you know, you were part of another milestone this weekend, you and Erica sharing the winner's circle. It happened in the past in 2004 when she won her first super gas race and you went out there in Houston. This one a little different. The 148th and 49th career victory for lady racers in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And NHRA always makes those milestones a big deal. I know that we are, you know, a diverse sport and it doesn't matter. And you know, we are over it, but the rest of the world is not really over it. And when we got from 100 to 150 really quick, it's pretty amazing how rapidly these wins are racking up. And Erica was 149 and the next person will be 150. And it's just pretty cool. The stock eliminator race winner was also Brina Frank. And just kind of interesting, first time ever stock and pro stock motorcycle, pro stock and pro stock motorcycle were both won by lady racers. Another just interesting stat for the data monkeys out there.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that. You know, of course, I remember the 2004 when Erica was in the super gas class and we won and we got to share our Wallys together. I had one pro stock bike. And, you know, at that time, if I remember correctly, and I would have to leverage Statman or yourself, I believe I was the seventh female to win. That may have been a professional category, not all of them at the time. But going from seven to now 100 and, what'd you say, 48, 49 now, it's amazing. I did not know through all the years of Angel Racing and Angie and Erica all together that there hadn't been two pro stock women on this podium together. That was news to me. I was surprised at that. I know there had been Fuel, and I guess I just assumed there had been pro stock. So that was cool. That was definitely, you know, it's interesting. I was telling Gary that, you know, I think Angel and I were the first ones in pro stock motorcycle to be in the final together back in Reading in 2003, I believe it was. So there's a lot of firsts with the ladies, and it just seems funny that if we keep doing first after I have to be right, we have come so far, and NHRA has been doing it for so long and been such a diverse association in so many ways for so long that it kind of takes me by surprise that some of these things still haven't been done yet.
Well, that is definitely true. You guys are, you know, adding up. I look at the point standings, right? It's like, you know, Karen, Angel, Angie, and then just outside, you know, you got Kelly Klontz, Gianna Salinas, Andy Rawlings, Melissa Serber, Katie Sullivan. Like, what is it about motorcycles, Karen, that attracts ladies to race them? Or is there nothing there? Like, you know, is there something there with that?
I don't know. I don't know if there's something there with that or not. I can't answer that. I did actually flip from a dragster to a motorcycle years ago, bracket racing. My personal intention was just, it was a cost thing. And at the time it was a lot easier to roll a motorcycle in the back of a truck than it was to drive a dragster and into a trailer and tow a trailer everywhere. So it was pure ease at that time, way back when. But, you know, I don't know what attracts them specifically to motorcycles, but in general, I think just the exposure that NHRA has provided everybody on how diverse we are and, you know, how we have gender and age and size and amputees and everything you can think of gets in the vehicle and go down the racetrack and be competitive. And I think that in general just attracts everybody to the sport. That and the concept of it, the concept of drag racing, even though it is quite challenging when you get to the details and technical and skill part, the concept of getting in something and going from point A to point B is something that we do every day in our vehicles, driving to work or driving to school or wherever. You know, it's a simple concept. So, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why it's attracts so much diversity. And again, age, we have kids, you know, what, four years old now?
Five.
Driving junior dragsters, five years old driving junior dragsters, and you have people 80 years old racing top field. It's just, it's a very, very broad and diverse sport. And again, I think kudos to NHRA for developing it and for showing that and demonstrating that to the world so that it is so diverse and anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it, but
you know.
Yeah, not anybody.
Pause back.
Yeah, well, not anybody
they
can
understand the concept.
Exactly. Not anybody can go out and win an NHRA national event, which you did. Congratulations on that. And you are back. I know there will not be the same kind of wait for your next win as there was for this one. And you're right in the middle of it, Karen. I think that, I think that what you did earlier this year, I think it was Chicago, where you put up like 00 lights every rundown, showed or something ridiculous like that. Best or four round average reaction time, I think, ever. Showed that you're dangerous out there when you got a good bike under you and you are focused. And I wouldn't be surprised if this did turn into some sort of Cinderella story for you, which would be great and well-earned. You and Gary have put your lives into it and, gutted it out at tough times and good times. Back in the Geico days, represented the sport very well. So I think this is really great. You totally deserve it. Four races to go. Charlotte is next. Good luck, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, and I love talking to you. I hope to talk to you again this year.
Yes, you control, just like I mentioned to Erica, she said the same thing. It's like, it's not even in my control. It's in your control. It could happen.
There you go.
There it is. Thank you very much, Karen. Congratulations.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Karen. Karen Stouffer with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. How about it? Great victory. She didn't like the word authoritative, like with authorita. Like she went out there and took it. And she did. I think she did. She beat both Harleys. She beat Matt Smith. Matt would have had a tough time beating her. Would have had to have been like better than 12 or something. Would have been very tough. But who knows? Anyway, good to have Karen back in the winner's circle. Karen and Gary Stouffer, two really, really nice, really great people. And Gary's a Pontiac guy, too. Got that going, which is nice. Thanks for coming on the show, Karen. All you fans of Pro Stock Motorcycle, share, retweet, forward this along. Send it to someone. Email it to someone. That's how people hear the show and about our great sponsors like Total Seal, Magic Dry, Frank Hawley, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, Samtech.edu, Drag Racing Edge, and EV3. Oh, yes, there's going to be an Ignition show. There might be something new for the Patreons. There's going to be a whole lot of WFO content. If you missed anything and you're just hearing this, we had Alan Reinhardt, Billy Torrance, Sean Langdon, Erica, and Karen. It was a great week following the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals, and we are just a third of the way through the NHRA countdown. 2 of 6. Down, 4 more to going. Next race is Charlotte. Hey, big thanks to everybody out there at the racetrack who said, what's up, WFO, and had a great time. I certainly had a great time in St. Louis, and it was fantastic racing. They have a great facility and a great race and a fan base that'll sell the place out on Saturday. What more could you want? Big thanks to Alan Reinhardt as well, and all you people who have been listening to WFO for years. Really appreciate it. Wouldn't be happening without you. All right, everybody, WFO. See ya on the next edition of NHRA Nitro.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO radio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey everybody, how do you start your day? You started off with a little coffee. And do you want something cheap and vacuum-packed with garbage? Do you want to pay for a retail coffee? It's like $11. Or do you want something that is good, like RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com? Join the Rodax Army. WFO users and listeners know all about it. Over 40 grades to choose from. This is roasted fresh per your order. Not to mention hot sauce, spice rub. You got to call Marvin. Get on the phone line or go to the website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Check it out. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology.
Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
The one thing that top drag racing teams agree on is Hengstifers.com. Hengstifers metalworking lubricants are going to make you more efficient in the machine shop. It's going to save your tools, it's going to improve your surface quality, and it's going to make you quicker and more efficient. Go to Hengstifers.com to find out more information. Hengstifers metalworking lubricants since 1937.
This is Sean from Traverse City, Michigan. You ever get done with an episode of Ignition or Nitro and say, man, that's a good job? I'd like to give them a pat on the back and a cold beer. Well, with Patreon, you can. So send that drink down to Gio and Joe.
This is WFO Radio.